Jesus. I know he's all right. Say yes. Say yes. Is he all right? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Give God a shout in here.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
I have sown much to thank my Jesus for. Anybody got something to thank the Lord for? and turn them to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. The book of Exodus, chapter 2. And I want to commence reading at verse 1. And recorded are these words. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And as she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while today, I want to speak from the subject, a mother's faith. A mother's faith. On this Mother's Day, and this Mother's Day experience, this woman we see in Scripture today acted out of faith, divinely inspired by God, in adverse and difficult situations that she found herself presently in, not only her, but mothers like her. But she had been given this unction by God, this ability to discover that this child that she had was a different child, a unique child, someone that God had much to do with in a divine way, so much so that he would be to the people of Israel their deliverer and what we have come to know as a type of Christ. This woman is exercising her faith in God. She recognizes that the king has been the king gave to the people a command, and it was after he had noticed the prosperity of the people of Israel, the growth of the people of Israel, the increase of the people of Israel. He had become this new Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and he did not have the tender mercies nor the caring love or just the kind of fellowship with human life like the Pharaoh who preceded him had. And he found out that there was not a relationship with the Hebrews as was in the past experience of the past king. And because he did not develop the relationships or have the connections as the old king had, when he came in, he said, "We're going to do a new thing. We have a new king. We're going to do this a new way, and the new way is going to be my way." Matter of fact,
as I look at these Hebrew people, I see that if they ever came to themselves and recognized that they had grown greater than the Egyptians, if the enemy decided to call war and they sided with the enemy, they would overthrow us. So what we'll do is we'll start killing off the male children, and all of the male children who were born had been ordered by the midwives to have them thrown in the river, killing them. But something happened according to the text. And as you look at it, you're going to see back up to the first chapter, if you will, and understand how all of this works. When you get down to the place where the Bible makes clear how these midwives, look at verse 17, it says, "But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" Verse 19 says, "And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily." Listen. "And mighty. And as it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now God uses, and I thank him for that, for those who are not only available, but for those who are obedient. And sometimes it doesn't come from the top to the bottom, but sometimes it starts from the bottom going to the top. He uses those who will surrender their will to his will. Now, up until this time, midwives had an important role to play, but it never really had an impact as to a kingdom's survival or a kingdom's success. But yet God uses the midwives after the king gives this decree that they throw all of the male children into the river. He speaks to their hearts and says, listen, that's the king saying that. But the king of kings say, don't do it. And because they chose to obey God rather than man, God showed them, I am your source and your supply. Now, based on this, notice the Bible says in the second chapter, verse 1 of Exodus, "And there went a man in, of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now she's hiding him because the decree is still in effect. And she knows that her son is no better and no different from the law that has been enacted, and children, male children, have died heretofore. So her son was going to die if he had been discovered, but she looked on him and saw something in him that only God can reveal to a mother about her child. My brothers and sisters, when I tell you this woman was a woman of faith, she was a woman of faith who walked by the wisdom of God. 3 months, when she looked at that child, there was something in his look, in his visage, in him that she saw that God stirred up. And when the word says goodly, the reference here is to him being someone that God has purposed for that period and for that people. It has to do with what God had designed for that hour. She looked and knew that she could not obey man's rules. She had to hear and adhere to God's rule. So listen at this. She takes 3 months. What is she doing in this 3 month period? I'm glad you asked. She's communing with God. Every day she's saying, I cannot let this child be discovered. I cannot let him die. I cannot let him be thrown in the river. I cannot waste his life. So God, you're going to have to show me what I need to do in order to save this child. How many of you know if you learn how to talk to God, God will sure enough talk back to you? How many of you know when everything around you is falling apart and the world has pronounced doom, if God says you'll live, no matter what the devil says, God will back up his word. This mother knew she couldn't let this child die. So 3 months she fellowshiped with God, and God gave her a plan. He tells her to prepare an ark and how to prepare it so that the ark would be waterproof. She knows sooner or later she's going to be discovered. So if she doesn't do something, they're going to discover her and her male child. So in the end of the 3 month period, and she had received a release in her spirit, the time had come where she knew she had to throw the baby boy in the water. But nobody says she didn't have to throw him in the water without some kind of protection, without some kind of boat, without some kind of help. I wish I had somebody. And so when she throws him in the water in his little ark made to be waterproof, she so planned it by the divine wisdom of God that it would happen to be at the time and near the place where the Pharaoh's daughter would come down to wash herself. Not only that, but Moses' older sister Miriam was a part of the plan. She probably said, listen, Miriam, I'm going to put Moses in this basket and put this basket in the water. And since the water is going downstream where Pharaoh's daughter bathed, I'm going to push him in there. And if by chance he gets stuck in the flags, in the grass on the side, you just kind of push him back in the water so he can go down. So Miriam watched for the basket, watched for the little ark as the water kept pushing Moses down. Here comes Pharaoh's daughter. All her maidens are around watching on alert as she goes and she begins to bathe herself. There, as she's bathing herself in the river, she looks down and she sees something in the water, looks like a little basket. She tells her maid, fetch me that basket over here. Now listen at this. Now the maid brings the basket with the little baby Moses. He's not named Moses at this time, but he is Moses. You're going to understand that what she thought she named him, God had already divinely placed that in her own spirit, because she didn't know that she was delivering the deliverer. Y'all ain't hearing me here. So when she has her maids to fetch him up out of the water, she uncovers him, and Moses speaks in baby language. He cries that anointed cry, and as he cries, it touches the heart of Pharaoh's daughter, and she has compassion on him, the word says. But she recognizes he's not an Egyptian boy.
Yes, sir.
But listen at God, the decree her daddy made was to kill, throw in the river, throw in the water, every male child of the Hebrew sect. And yet God made her fall in love with you know, you better be careful when you mess with God's people, how the God of the people comes to their rescue. In Pharaoh's own house, he makes Pharaoh's daughter fall in love with Moses and wants him as her son. She sees this Hebrew boy. He starts crying. And God, through Miriam, through Jochebed, prepared this plan. Miriam is right there when Moses starts crying. Pharaoh's daughter's looking. She's never had a child. She knows that the baby needs some milk, but she can't give him none. Moses' sister says, do you want me to call a Hebrew mother? See, there were many women who were now without child because their male child had been killed by being thrown in the river. So there were a lot of available women who could nurse the body at that point. They had enough milk in their body to reproduce all that the baby would need to sustain him. And so she says, go. Now, Miriam, Moses' sister, go tell Moses' mama, come here, I got a job for you. And so Moses' mama comes down to Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter said, listen, I'm going to pay you to nurse this child for me. Now, when was the last time you mothers got paid for raising your own children? Listen now, look at God's word. So she tells her that she's going to pay her to nurse him until he's weaned and is grown enough so that she then can have him as her son without having to nurse him. And Moses' mother finds that God is no shorter than his word. So we see that this woman was a woman of faith. She was a woman of wisdom, but secondly, she was a willing woman. You have got to realize, my brothers and sisters, God says your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so am I above you. There are some things that God will allow. But if you trust his word, if you trust him, it does not matter what it looks like. Listen, we who are the children of God do not walk by what we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. And yet when you trust God, I don't care how difficult it may seem, how it don't seem like the pieces are going to fit together. It might not seem like things are ever going to come together. It may not seem like this is ever going to work out. But if you just trust him, he can do some pretty amazing things. But you have got to be willing. And I got to say to you, my brothers and sisters, and especially you mothers, there comes a point in time in your child's life when you're going to have to be willing to let them go. I know sometimes you don't want to let them go. That's your baby, and they'll always be your baby. But sometimes your baby has a purpose that they can't fulfill unless you release them and let them go. Moses never would have made it to where God wanted him to be if his mother wasn't willing to let him go. Because sooner or later he would have been discovered, and no way would he have been able to live out his life under those terms without having been discovered. But learning to be obedient to God, she obeyed him, released him, and God took him right in the man's palace. In his own house, under his own roof. Now, don't tell me God can't do some wonderful things. The same man that ordered that the boys be killed is the same one who caused his daughter to fall in love with him and want him as her son. And the same man that ordered it wind up feeding him, clothing him, educating him, and taking care of him. What a mighty God! I wish y'all felt like having a little church on Mother's Day. So not only was she a woman of wisdom, not only was she willing, but lastly, she was worthy. And everywhere, my brothers and sisters, in Scripture where God has given some woman an opportunity to be an example to women all over the world and womankind, he has given it to women he found worthy. Now, lest you fool yourself, God's worthiness and the world's worthiness are many times in opposite directions. When you look at the women of the word and see that they were not up to man's standard, I'm so glad that the Bible says that God don't look on the outside, but God judges the heart. God considered her worthy, not because she was born in the right lineage, not because she was the one in the upper echelon, not because she was in higher society, not because she was the one that the world thought was worthy, but God can reach down low. Where there's some honor, there's some respect, where there's some reverence for God, some love for God, and do some things in people who are humbled and honor them above what the world sets as a standard. Read the word, go through it. Look at Mary, look at Elizabeth, look at Hannah. Go through the word. You'll see God deals with women of integrity. Women who are worthy. So mothers, listen, just because you might not have been born in a family where everybody has been blessed and you are in high society, don't think that God can't lift you. Sometimes God puts his purpose in such humble vessels so that the vessel can't ever get honorary and think it was them. They know it was nobody but the Lord. See, that's one of the things I love about the Lord. When he reaches down and picks somebody up who's low, they know that when they make it to another level, they can't brag on themselves. They can't pat themselves on the back. They can't say, I did this and I did that, and my mama and my daddy and my... They can't say nothing but, my God, to him be the glory for the things he has done. And when you look at this, my brothers and sisters, all worthy of the women who fear the Lord. Matter of fact, the 31st Proverb says that these women who fear the Lord shall be praised. If you fear the Lord, he said in his word that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. When you fear the Lord, you ain't got to go around trying to make yourself known. When you fear the Lord, you ain't got to be trying to get in people's sight, getting no clicks, trying to be a part of this part, be a part of that. When you fear the Lord, God will lift you up. You running from the spotlight and God shines the spotlight on you. When you try your best to live for him, yes, sir, the Bible makes clear that he shall give you the praise. That's right. My brothers and sisters, as I close today, looking at this woman and looking at women who have emulated her in many ways and many respects, that we honor on this day called Mother's Day. Go ahead. When we look at the fact that not only was she wise, not only was she willing, and not only was she worthy, but when you look back over those same verses, you'll find out that she was faithful, and then fruitful, and then on the end she was fulfilled. When you look back over those same verses, you will find out that this woman was a woman who surrendered her will to God's will. And when she surrendered her will to God's will, she found out that God has a more nobler will than yours. She discovered that the Lord has a way of working things out that seem like they won't work out. But if you put your trust in the Lord, I'm a witness that he shown up will. Y'all don't hear me today. I said shown up will make a way out of no way. I'm gonna close this little message I have this morning by calling on an old friend of mine by the name of Amy. And Amy's been around for a long, long time. And she's seen how the Lord can work. And many of y'all know Amy. She couldn't read and she couldn't write and she could not figure. But she loved the Lord with all her heart and she feared him in her soul. And one day May, who used to work in the white folks' kitchen cleaning and cooking, and she did all that she could so that she could sustain herself, one day received a letter from her son who had been deathly ill in Detroit City. Well, a mailman came by and he knew May was at work and he gave her this letter. And May couldn't read, I told you, so she waited till the madam of the house got home. And when the madam got home, she read the letter to May. And it went something like this: Dear mama, I'm on my bed of affliction and I don't have